Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are now listening to our sixth episode. For this episode, I recorded an interview with Ryan Slevin. Ryan is a GEMPA format student in our class of 2018, but before I get to my interview with Ryan, a few admissions updates. So we are now one deadline into our cycle. Our October 10 deadline has come and passed, and we are in the process of interviewing folks who applied in this round. Our decisions will be released by the end of the month, by October 31st. For those of you who are listening to this podcast and wondering when you might be able to apply to Darden, our second deadline is November 27th, so keep that date in mind, obviously. We also have a number of other deadlines focused on our matriculation date of August 2018. After November 27, it's January 10, February 10, March 10, and so on and so forth. Of course, if you have any questions about applying or you have questions about your application or we can help in any way, let us know. We can be reached by email at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And lots of great ways to learn about Darden in the coming months, specifically in November. We'll be hosting office hours all over the East Coast, Richmond, Norfolk, the Washington, D.C. area, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and New York. So be sure to check out our conversation page for additional details, timing, availability. Of course, office hours are in-person, 45-minute meetings, typically with me. We also offer phone conversations all the time, basically. So if you aren't in one of those places or you can't make an office hour work, consider scheduling a phone conversation, another good way to get your questions answered, also for us to learn a little bit about who you are and your background. One of our signature events for this fall, one of the things that we're really excited about, is a case discussion that will be happening here in Roslyn in Arlington on November 1st, hosted by Greg Fairchild. Greg, of course, is a Darden faculty member. He's our dean for DC Initiatives, and he is also a podcast guest. So hopefully you've had a chance to check out my interview with Greg. It's all the way back in episode 2, seems so long ago. As part of this event, not only will there be a case discussion that will be hosted and facilitated by Greg, but also a networking reception with current students and maybe even a few alumni. Of course, staff will be there too. I'll be there, so I hope to see some of you. The case discussion is a great opportunity for you to sort of kick the tires on the learning experience at Darden. We're a case method school focused on C-suite perspective, enterprise thinking. And so mini case discussion, as it's known, is a chance for you to come and sort of experience how you would learn. So you show up, you get handed a case, you read the case. The case obviously is condensed, it's a little bit shorter. And then you have a discussion that's facilitated by a faculty member, in this case, Greg, and discussion, you know, with your fellow prospective students. And of course, then afterwards, you get to have a reception, meet all sorts of people from the Darden community. So hopefully you'll consider joining us for that. It will be, again, on November 1st here in Roslyn. Additional details can be found on our website. So as I mentioned at the outset, before all those admissions updates, I recently sat down with Ryan Slevin to talk to her a little bit about her decision to come to Darden, how things have been going, how she chose GEMBA, what she's enjoyed about the GEMBA format experience, what she's looking forward to as she completes her time here. Of course, our class of 2018 will graduate in May 2018, which is not so far away, and also what she's looking forward to accomplishing after her time at Darden. Ryan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
So excited to have you here. It's exciting for me to be here with you and your classmates as you wrap up your weekend residency. For those of you keeping score at home, we're recording this on a Saturday. The podcast never sleeps, and Ryan was nice enough to take some time out of a busy weekend residency to talk with us. So, so Ryan, you are a GEMBA format student?
I am.
And so what attracted you to GEMBA specifically?
You know, I have lived overseas before as a teenager, and I think what I really wanted was that sense of adventure that I got from being exposed to different cultures and different languages and different food, but this time in a business context. So it was very alluring to me to see not only where the program could take me in terms of which countries, but what we might do there. And I have to say, the GEMBA portion of the program has exceeded my wildest dreams for what I would have hoped to see and do.
So you got me go to 3 out of the 4 global residencies, and India is just around the corner.
That's right.
So when do you actually go to India?
First week of November.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, gosh, the irony of my job is I talk about global residencies all the time. I still haven't been on one.
Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of students are like, you got to go.
I am so grateful that I chose the Gemba format. I feel like the connections that I've made with the Gemba folks, even the ones from Roslyn, you know, that are not in my Charlottesville cohort, have just been so different and so deep compared to the very deep relationships I've made here in Charlottesville as well. But you just get to know people on a different level when you have to hike the Great Wall with them, or you have to, you know, talk about financial inequality, or walk through Soweto with a classmate. You just have a different experience together, and it bonds you.
And we always would talk about Gemba, even when it was a slightly different version, right? We had a previous version that was 2 weeks in several different locations. So it's been updated recently. But even now, we still talk about the idea that that shared experience of traveling mm-hmm. together and, you know, going abroad and being in a new place together and going to each of the locations, right? You're the only group in the class that has that full comparative view. All 4 global residencies.
There's a huge camaraderie among the Gembas because we've been on all of the trips together, mm-hmm. whereas most of the other folks just join 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. So we look for each other. You'll find Gembas we seek each other out at dinner or at lunch, mm-hmm. you know, not always, but, and we're a pretty adventurous group. So we're the ones that plan a trip before the trip or plan a trip after the trip and people join in. But it's a wonderful group of people. And the other thing I'll say about Gemba is I've learned a lot more than I could have anticipated about myself. I have traveled internationally before. I've lived internationally before. And still, there are new insights. There are new challenges. There are new experiences to be had. And so it's this evergreen kind of adventure. Every trip is different, not just because of the classes, but because of the experiences you get.
So when we share, we describe the global residencies to prospective students, we say it's about half time in class, right? Because you're there with Darden faculty, mm-hmm. you're taking core classes, and then you do these other sort of field experiences. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't really give people a great sense of sort of like what it's like to be in sort of Western Europe on a global residency. So would it be okay if we sort of walk through, you know, let's say, what did you do when you went to Paris and Berlin? What were some of the highlights?
Sure. So in Paris, I've been to France many, many times. I speak French. So I was looking forward to that trip, but also feeling like I got this, you know, mm-hmm. feeling very confident. And it was funny because we did things I'd never done in Paris. We did a walking tour of several of the monuments. We did a wine tasting with a very well-known local sommelier in a very fancy, swanky restaurant, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But then we also did, you know, some real quant classes. We had, finance, 1 or 2, I can't remember which one. And we also had Lynn Isabella leading some of the other global leadership stuff that we did. So there was quite a peppering of kind of really rigorous academics in the morning, typically in the morning when you're nice and fresh. And then a lot of global immersion experiences, like the walking tours and stuff like that, museums. And then in the evenings, you're often free to go do what you would do, right? Mm-hmm. So whether that's shopping or whether that's one group split off and went to the catacombs, one group split off, you know, people mm-hmm. find their own little niches.
Sure.
In Berlin, we were, again, doing the same classes. So the professors traveled with us to mm-hmm. Berlin. So you're in the same, we were in ethics and finance and GLE, the global leadership experiences. And we did an unbelievable tour of where the wall used to be, mm-hmm. given by tour guides who had grown up on either side of the wall. And so that was really powerful, mm-hmm. Seeing the Holocaust remembrance that the United States built right outside of the embassy was mm-hmm. very powerful. And then coming back to class and talking about ethics and taking, you know, the other students got to take ethics in Roslyn, and I know that they had some really engaging classes. It's a memory I will keep with me that I studied ethics at the Berlin Wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the parallel experience is the leadership exploration class that's happening in Roslyn for the IMBA students who are not traveling. And they went to the Holocaust Museum.
Right.
Right. So they sort of had that parallel experience. That happens sometimes, not all the time.
And certainly still a rich experience. But I was so grateful to do something that was so outside of my paradigm. I'd never been to Germany. So it was quite eye-opening.
And how was South Africa, it sounds? I mean, you had mentioned it a little bit earlier, but...
Yeah, I really left a little piece of myself there, I'm pretty sure. It was very... I showed up early, and I went on a safari with a few of my classmates for a few days. We stayed in tents in a national park, and it was fantastic. And then we went and met up with everyone for the residency, and it was studying financial inclusion and financial inequality in South Africa, you know, 20 years, 40 years post-apartheid is really powerful, especially when it's coupled with a visit to the central bank where you're hearing the you know, financial analysts and advisors talking about whether or not fiscal policy can change the social kind of climate. Mm-hmm. And then understanding about why people are unbanked and how that affects them in a panel speaker, and then going and walking the streets of Soweto and going to Nelson Mandela's house all in one day, that changes you. It changes you. And you start to see the world with different eyes. So I think I was changed while I was there. I certainly had a very strong response to the townships. But then I came home and I was changed again, right? Because I saw my culture with new eyes, you know, 60 years post-civil rights, and seeing the parallels, it's haunting. Mm-hmm. And it created some uncomfortable questions that I've been wrestling with ever since.
Fascinating. So let's take a step back from talking about Gimba and just talk about sort of who you are and what you do and maybe why you thought about getting your MBA.
Sure. I work for a large financial services institution. I work at Capital One in Richmond. And when I was considering my MBA, I wanted to seek out an opportunity that would afford me both that adventure that I was craving, that I was seeking, a real chance to see the global business environment. And also I wanted exposure to a really wide variety of industries and jobs. And what I was very much looking for was clarity on what I wanted to be when I grew up. It was not clear to me. I was pushing 40, and I really, really didn't know what I wanted to do next. And so I knew that if I came here and I was surrounded by so many thinkers, but also had access to the unbelievable resources that Darden has to provide, whether it's coaching or, you know, career counseling or just talking to, you know, to people about what they do, that I would get some clarity about what my next step was. And that's exactly what happened.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, gosh, that as you think about, you know, sort of the remaining time that you have in the program, right? So we're talking at a point you're over halfway through.
That's right.
Right. So you got till May of 2018. Nobody's counting though, right?
No, nobody's counting.
You got an India residency coming up. I mean, what are the things that you really want to achieve, that you want to get out of the program between now and graduation?
You know, it's funny. I think I started this program very much focused on me. Very much focused on what do I want? What do I want that paycheck to look like? What do I want that title to be? What do I want? And now, maybe it was because I got some clarity on those answers, and I landed in a very different spot than I thought I would, actually. I was very surprised where I landed with that clarity. Now, I really enjoy watching that happen for my classmates. And so what I really want to get out of the next year or so is certainly deepening the knowledge of the courses that have really piqued my interest in the elective, you know, section of the format, but also really helping my classmates kind of get the clarity that I got a little earlier on. And so whatever I can do to be of service to them, you know, we talk, we text, we email, we, you know, we're in constant contact with each other. And that's really, really very special.
It's interesting to talk with with prospective students about culture in an executive MBA program? Because I think some people think, oh, that's a full-time thing, right? That, you know, that people, you come to an executive MBA, it's more of a transactional experience. But obviously, you and your classmates, and I would say Darden generally in the executive formats, that's not the culture, that people are here and they're invested. So talk a little bit about...
I certainly think that's true. I definitely seek out that kind of connection. So I think it's possible for someone to come and be transactional if that is what they are looking for. Mm-hmm. I definitely think they will be on the periphery of the norm, mm-hmm. which is it is so wonderful to come to a place where a lot of people are seeking. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know what their next move is. A lot of people are looking for... Or they know, but they need something in order to be able to make that switch. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice to be surrounded by people who are kind of in the same spot as you. And that even that is just an instant connection, right? Then you add in that it's Darden, and then you add in that you're in learning teams, and then you add in the case study method and travel. And there's no way you're not leaving with, you know, with lifelong connections. I will say... I heard versions of this before mm-hmm. I became a student, and I remember thinking, like, it'll be great to have connections, but I'm good. I've got my lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. I've got my best friends that I'm going to have forever. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for, you know, my next best friend. But what has happened is the, like, the circle widens, mm-hmm. and there's just more room because the conversation is rich. The connection is rich. It's so nice to talk to other working moms. And have that point of connection. Mm-hmm. And it's been one of my favorite parts of the program.
Yeah, so talking a little bit about being a mom and doing the program, because this is a question we get all the time about how people make this work. And know it's challenging and it's hard and that people make sacrifices as they go through the program. What would you say to a mom listening to the podcast who's thinking about possibly going back to get her executive MBA?
Yeah, I would say the commitment is real. When I heard that it was, you know, someone estimated it was, what, 20 hours a week of work?
Yeah.
Is that what we tell people? I remember my thought was, oh yeah, well, it won't be 20 hours for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like it'll be 10 or I'll get it done in 8 or 15 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly some weeks that are lighter than others, but on the whole, it is legitimately, there is time in class face to face with professors and time with your learning team face to face. And it is about 20 hours a week. And so certainly preparing for residencies is even more. Mm-hmm. So I would say, first of all, like the commitment is real. Don't talk yourself out of that. And the second thing I would say is it's doable. But the reason it's doable is because I have a partner who is supporting me and who is taking the lead on the things I had to scale back on. So I still do the things that are absolutely the most important things to me. I am home for dinner. I am with my kids. I am helping with homework. I am doing the school conferences. But here's what I'm not doing. I'm not room mom. I'm not PTA president. I'm not doing the extra, mm-hmm. right? So all the extra has gone away and I'm focusing on what's most important. You know, what's funny is the focus that comes out of that has actually made me do those things better. Like, I kind of don't know what I was doing with my time before I was working full-time and doing a full-time school mm-hmm. program. And so it's been hard for my kids to be away as much as I have, that's for sure. And mm-hmm. it's been hard for me to be away as much as I have. But I am, I have a very strong net underneath me of support. You know, my husband is very supportive. My work is very supportive. And I have a community that I ask for help with when I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Like, who can help me with my kids? I got to study. Or, you know, let's have a play date so I can get some laundry done or whatever mm-hmm. it is. But I definitely am not doing this by myself.
Yeah, I think that's the thing we always stress, right? Even everybody has their group of people who are behind them. When you go through this kind of program, I mean, graduation is such an exciting time for us, I think, as a school, because we get to meet all the people who've been instrumental in making it possible for students to actually do this program.
That's right. Yeah, I would say I remember and try to recognize often that my husband is getting this degree as much as I am mm-hmm. because he's putting in just as much time as I am, if not more. And the other thing is, you know, I am I have that guilt that I'm away from my, I have two daughters and I have guilt that I'm away from them, but I have friends who quickly remind me that I'm modeling for them that 40-year-old moms get to have adventures too, and it's my turn. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be their turn, and then it'll be my turn again, and then it'll be their turn again. And there's a give and take. I don't have to spend 20 years only raising my children, and it is really powerful to have something about my life that's only about me. It's not about my job, it's not about my marriage, it's not about my kids. Mm-hmm. It's only an investment in me. It's life-giving. It mm-hmm. really is. It's very, very motivating.
I can imagine. One of the things that we've been asking people on the podcast as we talk with current students is about the case method, right? Mm-hmm. Because feel that for Darden, as an executive MBA program, it's a big differentiator. Wanted to see how you might explain the case method to someone who's out there trying to learn about business school and options and, you know, what is the case method? How do you think about it? How would you explain it to someone who's just beginning to do their business school research?
So I would explain the case method as real life story based approach. So if you are trying to learn accounting, as I had to, I had never taken an accounting class ever before I showed up at Darden. And when I started that class, I was ready to open the first page of the textbook and start learning the mm-hmm. skills. And that is not what happened. Paul Simcoe started passing out a story about, you know, a brand new person at a firm who was who happened to be a Darden grad, who had a problem, right? That's how cases start. So-and-so pulled into their, you know, parking spot and their first day on the job, and they walked in, and here's the problem that they had. And they're always based on real life, almost always based on real life. And oftentimes they are written by the professors themselves or by students that the professors have worked with. And you get to learn, you do get to go through that first page of the textbook and go through the chapters and learn the skills, but you get to immediately apply it to a real life situation. And so what happens is a much deeper level of learning is immediately available to you because you're not trying to learn how to evaluate a firm. That's a skill. You're trying to learn how to solve this guy's problem who's 5 days into the job trying to figure out how to value a firm. And you're not doing it alone. You're doing it with a team of other people. And Darden does a beautiful job of balancing who those people are. So we joke that there are poets and there are quants. Like, clearly I'm not on the quant side. I'm very much a poet. But I have three quants on my team and three poets on my team. And so on the cases where I need a lot of help, I do the homework before we get there, and then they teach me. And then when we go into class, we're all ready to speak about the case. And the discussion that gets spurred from that is very, very rich. And the skills are things that you can learn through videos and textbook on the side or with your learning team. So it just advances the learning that much further.
Well, thank you for that. We always talk about it, you know, when you think about adult learners in particular, right? People who come to this program, they're, you know, 10, 11, 12 years typically into their career. And the idea that you would just sit through a lecture doesn't really resonate so much. And also you think about what you need at this point in your career to develop. And it's all about, you know, simulated decision making or mm-hmm. being able to practice that exercise, those muscles, because the people who come to our program, they want to be senior leaders, and you have hundreds of opportunities to practice that skill.
Yeah, and we still joke about, you know, cases that we did a year ago. So, you know, we'll be. In fact, I was literally just came from a leading organizations class where someone threw out a joke about a life hack of shucking corn, and the professor had absolutely no idea what we were talking about, but everyone else laughed because it was a case we had done in another course where we mm-hmm. got to watch a video, and the guy was, you know, had a very quick way to shuck corn, and it was like part of the case. You put it in the microwave for 8 minutes, by the way. That's how you do it, and it falls right out.
I learned something new today.
See, look at that. We pull, you know, metaphors and visuals from cases that we've done the entire program. And there becomes this like lexicon, this like shorthand, that we can talk to each other about based on the casework that we've all experienced together.
So last question. How do you feel that the program has helped you grow as a leader, you know, as someone who's now, you know, 14 months, 15 months or so into the program, something like that? You've obviously been through a leadership residency. You've gone on 3 global residencies and a bunch of weekends, distance learning, got a lot of stuff in your rearview mirror, still things to do. But how do you feel, at least in this period, you have developed from who you were before you started the program to who you are right now?
Yeah. So that's a really hard question. I would say it's a couple things. One, which is I've already mentioned and is the best one so far, is I know what I want. Mm-hmm. So much of the battle I was fighting before, I didn't realize, I just didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know if I wanted a $1 million paycheck or, you know, to be traveling all over the world or to be leading an organization or be an individual contributor. Like, I had lots of hunches and certain aspects of things felt good, but I couldn't translate all of my experience and values and needs and desires and all of that in my life and kind of funnel it all down into an answer. And that's what I got, right? And the minute, it was amazing, the minute I knew what I wanted, I knew how to get it, right? And so I knew what kind of position I was looking for, what kind of environment I would be successful in, because we had done so many kind of reflective exercises on what type of leader we are, what type of... So I just feel like I have an enormous understanding, a much deeper understanding of who I am and what I want, what's important to me. And I've seen that happen for my classmates as well. I also have like memories of trips that are get to stay with me forever, right? So, you know, whether it was going to the top of the Eiffel Tower or, you know, sleeping in a tent in South Africa, right? Like just the, it's unbelievable to me that I've done all of that, right? And then what else has this program given me? I would love to say that it's given me a ton of confidence, but I actually feel, I don't feel less confident. I just feel more humble. I'm humbled by the level of genius that I'm surrounded by. I'm humbled by the level of leadership and the level of intellect. And I realize that not, I claim my seat here. I belong here. But I'm also not, I don't have to be the best of the best. I can just belong. And that's really powerful. I think I've spent a long time thinking I had to be the best of the best or it didn't count. And being here and being with classmates and feeling supported and doing this really hard thing all together, it feels good to just belong and just work together. And that's humbling.
Well, Ryan, thank you for taking time, and obviously really appreciate your answers. And, you know, we are just getting started with the podcast, but really appreciate your being here, taking time out of your weekend.
Oh, it's been my absolute pleasure. So thank you for having me.
Ryan Sletman, a Gemba Format student in our class of 2018. Of course, if you have any ideas for the podcast, anything you'd like for us to talk about here, we're always open to them. You can email us at exec, that's exec@darden.virginia.edu. Of course, lots more student interviews to come. I've been busy talking with members of our community, both staff as well as students. So stay tuned. Be sure to check back at the podcast. And as always, thanks for listening.